Get ready. You're about to enter
the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the one and only Remso Republic, broadcasting you coast to coast from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, attempting to do one thing, the one thing that we've been pushing all of Season 3 so far. We're trying to make freedom fun again. Individual freedom, economic freedom, religious freedom. Because why? Because ultimately it leads to a more prosperous, happier, and more productive life. Thank you for joining me once again. I'm Remso W. Martinez. Welcome back, old and new. This has been fun because the last couple episodes, what I've really tried to do is it's really easy just to cover the current events. It's really easy just to regurgitate the same things that you're going to be hearing 20 million different times throughout the day. And part of the struggle of coming up with original content is covering the things that you're not going to typically hear elsewhere, because it's really difficult to go up against the grain sometimes. It's really difficult to kind of reach out into different areas that you don't know if people are going to be interested in. The thing that I love about you, my audience, is that you've come on this journey with me, whether it just be understanding what is the right course for a political philosophy or going through a spiritual journey. I'd like to think that we're making freedom fun again together. And one of those interesting things that I've kind of let pop on my radar a little bit more because I graduated from Liberty University recently is that I'm kind of missing, you know, constantly being surrounded by my brethren. And I'm talking about, you know, my super evangelical friends. I kind of miss doing that. I miss going to convocation three times a week. I miss seeing Jerry Falwell Jr. just randomly jump on someone's hammock. It's part of that culture that, because I dealt with it for so long, I kind of miss it. So what I tried doing recently was that I watched some of the movies I used to watch with my friends. I went ahead and I watched God's Not Dead. I went ahead and watched Woodlawn. And it, you know, I love those films. It's a little bit different watching them with, you know, just producer Ryan and I, but it kind of reminds me of home. But the thing that I appreciate about those two films specifically is that we've actually seen kind of like a rise in the quality of Christian films, because I saw some other Hallmark stuff recently and things that I've seen elsewhere, you know, going back like late 90s, early 2000s. And I suddenly remember why I couldn't get really into Christian films recently. But speaking of recently, I went ahead and watched a film called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. And let me tell you, even if you're not a religious person, that film is just downright funny. And when I watch that and I compare it to other Christian films, I'm just like, why can't it be a good film in its own right? Why can't it reach out to everybody? Well, I'm not going to be the one to really talk to you about that today. I want to go ahead and introduce our guest. He's been producing and directing feature films and shorts since 2000, when he produced the feature Hometown Legend. And then he directed multiple shorts and features that won multiple festival awards and are currently on DVD and TV all over the world, including the features Midnight Clear, Though None Go With Me, and What If, and recently, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. Ladies and gentlemen, Dallas Jenkins. Sir, how are you doing? Welcome to the program.
So great to be on, and I appreciate your intro. I appreciate what you guys are all about. As we mentioned off the air, I also am a evangelical libertarian, so we have a lot in common there. And you mentioned trying to make liberty fun again. I think I'm trying to make faith-based films fun again, or maybe I shouldn't say again, because I don't know if they ever were fun, but trying to just add a little bit of levity to the proceedings mixed in with the message.
Exactly. And that kind of brings me to my first point. I don't want to sound like a jerk or anything, but Dallas, I'm just curious, for so many years, why did Christian films suck?
Well, I believe there's multiple reasons for that. But when I was growing up, I grew up in a pretty strongly fundamentalist, Baptist, kind of old school Midwest family. My father is very well known as an author, did the Left Behind books. My mother was, farm girl from Central Illinois. I mean, we were, you know, significantly conservative, both politically and spiritually. And yet my dad loved movies. and was always a little bit against the grain in that respect. And when I first started watching movies in like junior high and high school, after being protected from anything more than G-rated movies when I was growing up, that was one of the questions I asked, is why are all the good movies completely outside of my world? And, you know, there's no good movies that reflect my values. And when I would see a movie at church or in youth group or whatever, it did suck. It was always embarrassing. I think the main reason is that anytime there was a relationship between church and popular culture back in those days, it was in the form of a boycott. You were discouraged from watching movies that weren't rated G. You were discouraged from engaging much with popular culture on a positive level. Therefore, that keeps Christian storytellers, particularly evangelical-minded storytellers, from learning how to do stuff well, because all the best filmmakers were coming out of Hollywood. And so there weren't film schools that were, you know, faith-based, you know, and most Christian kids were sent to Christian colleges. There wasn't a Liberty University at the time that was taking film seriously. So I think at its very basic level, we were just encouraged away from film. We were encouraged away from Hollywood. Don't be influenced by what comes out of Hollywood, and don't be influenced by being part of Hollywood. So slowly but surely that started to change. And that's why the reason films are getting better now is because I think children are being more encouraged and less discouraged from pursuing filmmaking, art, music in general as a potential career and ministry path.
So I'm just curious, when did the switch come in? Because it seems like within the past, I'll be a little bit liberal with that. I'll just say the past decade, I mean, just the quality of films itself have just, I mean, they've become more Hollywood-like. I mean, one of my favorite Christian films of the past couple of years was Beyond the Mask, and that's a Christian action film. And those things typically just don't go together. Usually right. You think of something like with, you know, a Kirk Cameron movie or something else. So it seems like the story and the actual quality of the film itself has been amplified, but the message is still there. So what kind of caused that to occur? Was it just kind of people thinking, I can go ahead and create a movie that can reach out to anybody, you know, to kind of break the fold, as you mentioned earlier, or was it something else? Because yeah. I see that all this stuff kind of came around, you know, at really close times.
Yeah, I think it's twofold, and I'll try to make this quick, but I'll give you a history of Christian film. I'll start with something like Beyond the Mask. So that starts with, you know, young filmmakers, these guys were a family of, you know, I think actually of homeschooled kids who were influenced by action adventure movies. And it starts with that. So that's the kind of movie that they were influenced by. And so then combine that with their passion for their faith. Previously, people who ended up making Christian films started with a mission. So it didn't start with a love of film. It started with, I want to change the world. And it looks like filmmaking is a good way to do that. So I don't need to be a good filmmaker. I just need to use film as a tool to communicate my message. So that's one element. The other element is made a film called Hometown Legend. And it was a high school football film set in the South. It was faith-based. I wouldn't call it evangelical in a sense. There wasn't a conversion scene or anything like that. But it was around the same time that Left Behind was being made. My dad's book was being made into a movie. Previously, the right around that time, the most successful Christian films were straight to DVD apocalyptic type films. They were slowly but surely getting slightly better than they used to be, but for the most part, that was all we had. Around that time, shortly after that, The Passion of the Christ came out, and that is what opened up the door for studios, for Hollywood studios to go, okay, we want more faith-based films. We want to serve this audience we didn't even know existed. They weren't even aware. A lot of them weren't even aware The Passion of the Christ was coming out. And then all of a sudden it opens to $100 million. It's set in a foreign language. It was a complete and total shock to them. And I remember when my film Hometown Legend was picked up by Warner Brothers, simply because they liked the movie, I was educating them about youth groups and churches and all this stuff. And so all of this was so starting from scratch when it came to the studios. So once the studios opened their doors and said, we want more like this, there weren't many Christian filmmakers available. So But the quality level, just by the fact that there was money available, that studios were now involved, and they weren't going to accept this kind of church basement level quality, that's when that marriage began to get better. Fox was kind of first, you know, in line, 20th Century Fox. Sony started to get involved. Some of these bigger companies, even Hallmark, was looking at faith-based stuff. And just by definition, having a little bit more money, choosing directors that had some experience, that started changing the radar a little bit and moving the needle towards a higher quality. So it took time, but I think that's, you know, I think the beginning of it started 2000, 2001, 2002. And I think Passion of the Christ was what fully started to launch the relationship between Hollywood professionals and, you know, Christians from the flyover states.
Sir, we're going to go ahead and keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remsa Republic with special guest Dallas Jenkins. Hang on tight and we'll be back in a moment.
Let's make freedom fun again. Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remsa Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously, though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing, and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to visit LibertarianWingMedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back. We're going to go ahead and continue our conversation from earlier, but sir, I kind of want to pivot a little bit. Your film had something that a lot of, you know, recent Christian films, they've been getting, but I mean, your film, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, had it in spades. You had Brett Dalton, you had D.B. Sweeney. I mean, you just had a list of actors that aren't necessarily known for showing up on independent Christian films. So were they, when you were going out for them, did they come to you or did you go to them? Are they Christian? I mean, it's just not something you typically see.
Right. It's a mixture. So we were casting for the main character, you know, who ultimately was Brett Dalton from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. My son was the one who was pushing for him. We were, you know, reaching out to different actors. We were auditioning and just having trouble finding someone that could really capture the charisma, the humor, the drama, all that stuff of the main character. And my son, who's a big Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel nerd in general, kept pushing for Brett. I was like, I haven't seen much of him, but what I have seen, it didn't seem very charismatic. And so long story short, the casting director finally just, you know, sent his agent the script, and he absolutely loved the script. He's not a Christian at all. I mean, he believes in God, but he's not a evangelical by any stretch of the imagination. He just genuinely loved the script. Now, Angela Johnson, who's a well-known stand-up comic, she's a believer, but doesn't actually like, you know, she kind of stays away from Christian films generally. I had to kind of, I won't tell the long story, but I was interested in her because I'd seen her in a movie. She fit the type I was looking for, reached out to her. She was skeptical at first, read the script, loved it. Flynn from the middle, not a Christian at all, but loved the script. From the Chicago area where we shot the film, it was a natural fit. D.B. Sweeney, friend of mine, practicing Catholic. Now, Shawn Michaels, who's one of the most famous WWE wrestlers of all time, came on board. Our connection to him was that WWE Films, you know, yes, the wrestling company, they and Blumhouse Entertainment, which is known for horror films like, you know, Insidious and Get Out and Slight and Split and all that.
Yeah, it's getting really hard for me to see the connection now.
right. So, a horror film company, a wrestling company, and then I work at a church in Elgin, Illinois. We all combined to make this movie. So that's a whole nother podcast episode in and of itself, how that all came together. But the long story, the common theme of it is all these people simply loved the script. And when you have a good script, that solves all ills. That gets past that whole Christian barrier. And when I was interviewing Brett Dalton on Skype about this movie, and I said, let me just ask you this. Why are you, you know, are you concerned at all or bothered at all or worried at all about working on a faith-based film? And he says, well, I don't see this as a faith-based film. I just see it as a good film. And I said, well, you know, your character has a significant, you know, salvation growth throughout the movie. He plays the part of Jesus in a church passion play. We see the life of Jesus portrayed on stage. There's prayer. It's the movie, the whole, you know, practically almost the whole movie is set in a church. I mean, this is as faith-based of a movie as you can get. And he goes, yeah, I thought it was very moving. I thought it was great. Because the main character is an outsider, because Gavin Stone, you know, we haven't talked about the plot of the movie, but just quickly, he's a former child star, you know, who's sentenced to 200 hours of community service in a local church. He pretends to be a Christian so that he can play the part of Jesus in their passion play to get out of doing, you know, cleaning toilets. So all the humor that comes from that, I think everyone can relate to, Christian or non-Christian, from being an outsider. And that's what's one of the cool things about this movie, is that the movie has not only appealed to producers like Blumhouse Entertainment and WWE, who are, you know, agnostic Jewish men who've, you know, hadn't even met a Christian in 20 years, to actors like Brett Dalton, is just the script and the humor, and then the pathos that comes from his life being changed. And, you know, I think that makes up for the fact that there may be some resistance typically to a quote unquote Jesus movie. But I think it just, the movie pokes a little fun at Christian subculture. It you know, has some genuinely funny moments that non-Christians and Christians laugh at. And that just kind of conquers all potential barriers.
So, knowing a little bit more about the lead actors in the film, you know, knowing this now, it kind of leads into my next question. Did they get any type of backlash? Because it must not be popular. You know, it's not popular at all to be a conservative like Mel Gibson or a libertarian like Vince Vaughn in Hollywood. It must be even less popular to be a Christian or even associated with a Christian film. Did you or the cast or anyone on set during the production of The Resurrection of Gavin Stone face any type of, like, you know, media backlash or anything?
I think that they were a little bit surprised when the movie came out that there was, I wouldn't call it backlash, but just questions and you know, kind of like a natural resistance, you know. And then they'd read the reviews, and the reviews were like, huh, I liked this movie, or kind of liked this movie, or didn't love it, but it wasn't as bad as I expected from a faith-based film. You know, Brett Dalton, I think, was a little thrown off by some of the questions he was getting from the media. And he was like, I don't see this as a faith-based movie. I see this as a good movie. So, but while they were making the movie, I think they were just genuinely excited about it because it's a good movie. So I really think that it wasn't until it came out that they were expecting, you know, I think all along they were just expecting a positive response. And the response wasn't as bad as I kind of secretly thought. You know, I mean, again, the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, we got a 42%. Not great, but better than, you know, three times as better than most faith-based movies. So I think that they were actually a little bit disappointed, even in their own people. You know, like most of them are liberal. Most of them come from, the traditional Hollywood world. And they were kind of like, you know, why are you biased against this kind of stuff? But it wasn't a backlash in the traditional sense, like there was, you know, pitchforks and torches. It was more just like a general, you know, eye rolling. And that, I think, threw them off a little bit, but it was all after the fact. I think while we were making the movie, there was a little bit of blissful ignorance on their part. And, you know, I tried to warn them a little bit, but I also didn't want to scare them away.
Gotcha. So we're going to go ahead and keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our final commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Such as the Alex Merced cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Comments is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Are you looking for a podcast that represents life, liberty, and free movement of ideas? Well, look no further. The Classical Liberal Podcast is here for free speech and the latest in American politics. Come tune in for Liberty with Alex Shaw at theclassicalliberal.weebly.com. That's classicalliberal.weebly.com. Folks, welcome back. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up, but I want to give a few more minutes to Dallas. One thing that you've brought up multiple times in terms of what, you know, Brett's comments were, was that he doesn't see it as a faith-based film. He sees it as a good film. You know, the market determines all things. And when it comes to this, I mean, you will always be in the box, and this goes for any Christian film. They will always be in the box of faith-based films. But, you know, I know friends of mine that are cinematic arts majors, and their biggest thing is, you know, I want to produce faith-based films, but I want to be a good comedy, or I want to be a good drama or an action flick or something like that. Are you comfortable just being in the faith-based film genre, or do you think that, you know, this type of film will be able to transcend that eventually and, you know, be on par with other, and let's just use the term, quote, mainstream films?
Yeah, I've come to grips with it. I think, there's actually an article and a couple of articles that are making the rounds just even the last couple of weeks about how we need to get rid of the term faith-based film because it keeps non-Christians from seeing our films. I just don't agree with that, and here's why. We live in a very noisy world. It's difficult to break through. It's difficult to reach your core audience. It's difficult to kind of cut through the clutter. And audiences nowadays want to know exactly what they're getting before they take the time or the money to invest in it. And so faith-based film, mainstream film, I don't really care. You know, if I had $50 million to spend and we could just blanket the marketplace with marketing and publicity, and could afford, you know, an actor like Chris Pratt or Tom Cruise or someone like that who transcends all barriers of genre, then that'd be great. But we can't do it. So we have to be specific. We have to be like ninjas. And we have to go straight to our audience. And our audience wants to know what they can categorize the movie as. And I think a lot of, you know, cinematic arts majors and people like even like myself back in the day were a little bit embarrassed. We don't want to be categorized as faith-based because most faith-based films suck. And I've just had to come to grips with it. To me, it's like denying that my church is called a church because we don't want to turn off people who don't like church. Well, it is what it is. Call things what they are, you know, and if people don't want to come to a church because they hate the word church, you know, they've got their own issues anyway that we're going to have to break through on a more personal level. If someone's not my film because it was called faith-based, there's nothing I can do about that. Hopefully the word of mouth will transcend that. And so far, the word of mouth on this film has been so strong that it is slowly but surely breaking down those barriers. The movie didn't do very well in theatrical box office. That was disappointing. But those who saw it loved it. They are spreading the word about it, hopefully on DVD and streaming. And I mean, it's available everywhere. Hopefully the word will spread. The reviews from users online will translate and people will be willing to take a look at it. But if not, I can't control that. All I can do is make the best movie I possibly can. The rest of it is just a marketing angle.
So speaking of the reception and the, you know, the box office numbers, you know, like I said earlier, the market determines all things. Do you think that the Christian film industry is on the right path because they're going and creating films that are just, you know, as Brett called it, just a good film? Or are things kind of on the way that they've always been, where it's always just been, you know, you've got to resuscitate it every couple of years so that way it doesn't kind of die out? Because, I mean, Not Dead got a sequel. And even in, you know, in theaters, it did fairly well. And for Beyond the Mask, it didn't get much money, but they had a giant grassroots groundswell in getting people to call their theaters and demand that they carry the film, and then, you know, their DVD numbers showed it. So where do you think things are going?
Yeah, the marketplace is dictating, I think, I know, the theatrical marketplace for independent faith-based movies, if it's not already dead, it's dying pretty quickly. Our movie, we just found very quickly that people just saw our, you know, were interested in our movie, wanted to see it, but didn't feel the need to see it in theaters. Case for Christ, a very good movie. I think one of the better faith-based movies out there. You know, probably will make its money back, probably will make maybe a little bit of profit, but, you know, it's one of the most famous brands in all of Christianity, Case for Christ, and it couldn't, you know, break through on a mass scale. It's becoming increasingly difficult. Audiences are saying we prefer to get our entertainment at home. We prefer to get it quickly and easily. And if we're going to go to the theater, it's going to need to be because we're going to get an experience we can only get at the theater, like an epic movie or a big budget action movie or something like that. The smaller movies, the independent movies, they don't feel any different in, you know, at home than they do in the theater. So that's how we want it. And I've just got to adjust. It bums me out. I love my movie coming out in theaters, but the audience is telling me what they want and I've got to adjust. And that's becoming true for faith-based movies. So I think that when you then do that, you have to go directly to the consumer. You're on Amazon.com, you're on Netflix, you're on DVD. Now you're even more challenged in terms of trying to cut through the clutter. I think you even have to more embrace the term faith-based, and you have to let people know what it is that you are so they can make an informed and quick and snap decision. And that's just something we have to deal with and embrace, and I'm willing to do that.
So to wrap things up on kind of a lighter note, and folks who are listening, this is an incentive for you to actually go see the movie. I've got one question about one specific scene in the film, and my producer and my family, they all wanted me to ask you this. But the scene where Gavin is at Bible study of the boys one night, and the one guy brings in just one box of pizza for three men. Did you only have the budget for one box of pizza? Because I've never seen three men just work with one box of pizza. I mean, what was up with that?
Wow. I can honestly say that's the first time that question's been asked. But I will tell you this. That question has not been asked by a Chicagoan. Anyone who knows Chicago deep dish style pizza knows that even grown men, even large men, and I'll tell you this, there weren't just three men, there were four. a large deep dish pizza in Chicago is more than enough to feed four men. I typically will eat at most three pieces, and I'm a big guy who has a huge appetite. So two pieces a piece, more than enough when you're talking about that style of pizza.
Well, that makes sense now. That makes sense.
Yeah, and you brought up one of my favorite scenes, because that's the scene where Gavin is asked on the spot to pray for the pizza. And of course, he's not, you know, he's not a prayer guy, and he makes up a prayer on the spot and, you know, uses Braveheart as inspiration for his prayer. It's one of my very favorite scenes in the movie. But yeah, I'm so glad you noticed our Chicago deep dish pizza. But yeah, it's, believe me, any Chicagoan will tell you that scene was very realistic.
Well, that does it. That settles that. Sir, if people want to go ahead and watch your film, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, link up and, you know, learn more about Vertical Church Films and everything else you're doing, how can they do so?
Well, Vertical Church Films, easy to find on Facebook. Dallas Jenkins, easy to find on Facebook. And I put up, you know, behind the scenes photos, videos. I put up a lot of content, even church products, because I do a lot of short films and vignettes for that can be used and that I think are some of the best work we do. And then the movie, I mean, is everywhere. I mean, you can, you know, you go into Walmart, you'll see it on its own stand. You'll see it on Amazon. You'll see it on everywhere that DVDs are sold. And then in about a month, it'll be available for rental. But you can even download it for streaming rental on Amazon, all the usual suspects. So look it up. It's very easy to find.
Sir, thank you so much for coming on the program. It's been an absolute blast. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, and keep up the great work. And us Christian libertarians got to stick together.
Booyah, you got it. Anyway, folks, to kind of wrap things up, if you're a Christian, if you're a libertarian, if you're someone that has a passion for something that you believe people should know more about and engage in, I'm not going to say it's your responsibility. I think it's your obligation to go out and create the world you want to see. And go against the odds, go against the numbers, go against the critics, because I think the future is for the dreamers and the people that actually do things, because the world is full of well-intentioned, brilliant people that don't do anything. And I think whether it's a Christian, you know, faith-based film, whether it's an invention, whether it's anything, you gotta go out and do it. And speaking of creating the world you want to see, one thing you could do is, I don't know, maybe subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, check us out on Player FM or LRN.FM and the Self-Defense Radio Network. Just broke recently 90,000 downloads. Thank you so much. And as always, be good to your neighbor. Go out and treat yourself a bit and tune in next week. I'm Remso W. Martinez of the Remso Republic. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?